The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then verses 18 to 23. And it's found on page 925. Matthew 13, starting at verse 1, entitled The Parable of the Sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him, and he got into the boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came down and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Now we continue the reading from verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you. Michael, do you want to come up and share with us from those scriptures the message God's placed on your heart? And let's pray for Michael before he speaks to us. Father God, we pray for Michael. We ask that you fill him with your Holy Spirit, that as he shares with us now, we may hear not just the words that he's going to say, but the words you will say through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. Great to see you here today. We always have these great bulletins. These are really great, and I think Heather does these. Brilliant. But they're really well edited. And what I wanted to do to start with this morning is read from you from a few bulletins that weren't as well edited. Some people weren't observing quite as well as we do here on what they were actually putting in the bulletin. So here's a couple of them. I hope they bring you some joy. They brought me a lot of joy. So here's one that was in a bulletin. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come here, Bertha Belch, all the way from Africa. Awesome. Here's another one. The Reverend Merriweather spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. I'm sure he read that and thought, thanks, appreciate that, guys. Here's another one. Barbara remains in the hospital and she needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and has requested tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. Fantastic. Love that. Here's a good one about the young people in the church. The year 8 will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Here's one that was out in front of the church on a giant sign. It said, simply, don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. I love it. All right, here's a couple more. Let us join David and Lisa in their celebration of their wedding and bring their happiness to a conclusion. Is that exactly what you meant? I'm not sure what you mean. This one is a little sad. The low self-esteem support group will meet on Thursdays at 7 to 8:30 p.m. Please use the back door. Come on, people. What are you thinking? Okay, last one. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. People need to observe. You need to pay some attention. So when I went years ago, before I moved to England, I went to seminary, which is like Bible college, and I had a professor who taught us how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, and it was incredible. He said the first thing you do when you begin to look at Scripture is you're to observe it. You need to pay attention. You need to look at it like a detective. So you need to ask the questions like who, what, when, where, why, how, what is going on here, long before you get to the part where you begin to interpret or try to figure out the meaning. You need to just observe it. That's what these folks writing the bulletin needed to do. They needed to do a bit more observation. And I remember we got, the first passage I was given was Acts 1:8, which simply says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then to Samaria, and then to the end of the earth. And so he said, I want you to observe this one passage. This is about 20 words, and I want you to write down 50 observations of this passage and bring it back tomorrow. It's like 50 observations? How in the world? You know, this is just one verse, right? I mean, there can't be 50 in there, right? So I started looking at it. I was like, all right, observation one, there's 21 words in this verse. It's like, no, that's not what we need. We don't need to know how many words are in the verse. So you start looking at it and you're like, okay, well, how do I do this? But you, as you begin to observe, you realize there's tons. You go, okay, it starts with the word but, which means there's a contrast. So now, to properly observe this, I need to go back to the verse or the verses before this to understand what the author is contrasting. So that's the first observation. And then the next word says you. So then you realize, okay, it's talking about who is you? You got to ask that question, right? And then you go on from there. You read the word power, and you need to do a study on that. You realize, what does that mean, you will receive power? What kind of power? And then you look up the original Greek word, and the original Greek word there is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. And you realize, wow, there's a lot in this if I just observe it. I haven't tried to interpret this at all. I'm just observing it. So the next day I went back with my 50 observations all written down. I was feeling pretty proud about myself, like, woo, got 50, you know. Everybody in the class had their 50 written down. And then the professor said, okay, whoa, that's not good. Then he said, okay, now I want you to do 50 more and come back with it tomorrow with 50 more observations. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? He goes, by the way, the record is over 500 observations of just this one verse. So if you think you're having to do a lot, 100 is not that big a deal. So that's just observing Scripture. And so whenever we read the Bible, what we want to do is we want to start by observing it, looking at it, asking all the questions, and then we go on from there to interpreting it. And that just means coming up with what is the meaning, what is the author, the writer of this, trying to tell me? What does he want me or she want me to know, to have in my bit of knowledge? And then finally, when we study Scripture, the final thing is, what is the application? What am I supposed to do about this? So every time you read Scripture, every time you look at the Bible, when you're doing this, what we need to do is OIA, observe what's going on here, write down our observations, I interpret what it is that it means, what are they trying to tell me, and then finally, what is the application? What am I supposed to do with this? Okay? So this passage, the reason I'm saying this is because this passage that we read this morning, for a lot of people, is a very simple passage. And matter of fact, along the way, as we just heard, Jesus actually interprets what he says in the first place for us so that we actually know the proper interpretation of the parable. But we need to actually observe his interpretation as well, so then we understand what we're supposed to do. Every time you read Scripture, we need to understand that it's not just to gain knowledge. Every time we read God's Word, we're supposed to be going, what is it that I need to know, and what is it that I need to do? Every single time. The Bible has been written and given to us to change our lives, to change the way we do life. That's why we have it. So, let's observe this. And by the way, as I began to do this, and I had read this many times, I had to literally stop after the first five words because it hit me so strongly, the observation that I had. And that was this. It says, a sower, this is from the English Standard Version, ESV, a sower went out to sow. Now, you may read that and you think, what's the big deal? But it hit me. I was like, it wasn't a baker went out to sow, or a plumber went out to sow, or a doctor or anything else went out to sow. A sower, in other words, the person that was doing the sowing, that's what they were built to do. That's their job. That's their lifestyle. And they went out to do what they were made to do. A sower didn't go out to bake. A sower didn't go out to plumb. A sower didn't go out to teach. A sower went out to sow. So whoever this passage is talking about, they were doing what they were made to do. They were doing what they were, their profession, what it is that they are about in life. And they went to do it. They purposely went out to go do what they were made to do. That was their plan as they went out. The sower went out to sow it. And as he sowed, it says some seeds fell along the path and the birds came and devoured them. So they go out and they got seeds, and these are pumpkin seeds. But it could have been any kind of seeds. And the picture is, and by the way, and a great observation is that everyone in the audience would have known exactly what this person, what Jesus was talking about. And another one of the great observations is, who's talking? Well, Jesus is talking. And he's talking to an audience of people that would have known exactly what he's talking about, what's a sower. And the sower just, they're just chunking their seeds. And they're sowing them. Sorry if I make a mess, I'll clean it up later. Maybe somebody else will, who knows? See how that goes? And they're sowing their seeds. And Jesus could have even been doing this while he was talking, who knows? And everybody there would have understood what he's talking about. A sower is a person who takes seeds and they're putting them in the ground in hopes that something's going to grow. And whatever type of seed they're throwing, that's what's going to grow. If it's a pumpkin seed, then maybe next week somewhere in the church we've got some pumpkins growing. That's kind of fun. In the back of my house, somebody a few years ago, a lady named Sharon Foster, some of you may know, planted an apple tree. And now, look what I've got growing in the back of my house. Hundreds every year of gigantic, beautiful cooking apples. So the sower goes out, but the seeds fall on the path, and the birds came and devoured it. We can see the picture. That was brilliant what Dave did earlier. They fell on the rocky ground. They didn't have much soil, and they sprang up, and they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil, produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then Jesus stopped, and he said, he who has ears, let him hear. See, Jesus is speaking in a parable, but you have to ask the question, why? Why is he speaking in a parable? Well, I'll give you some background. Again, observing what's going on, you have to go back to chapter 12. Jesus has been teaching, and he's healed someone. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders are all there, and they've seen Jesus heal someone. And he's cast out a demon, and they immediately say the only way that Jesus could have done this is because he's in with them. He's partnered with the demons. He's from Satan. Jesus is a bad guy. That's what they're slandering Jesus with. And Jesus gets so mad, and you can go back and read this on your own at some point, and you should. Chapter 12, Jesus is so mad. This is the maddest I think I've ever seen him. He actually, in front of everyone, says, these Pharisees are snakes. He says, you brood of vipers. And then he says, you are straight up evil. To their faces. He's so mad. So then when we get to verse chapter 13, Jesus has to cool down. So he leaves where he is and he walks down to the Sea of Galilee, he goes down to a lake and he gets in a boat, and you can observe all of this just by reading the passage. And he gets in this boat and he sits down and he begins to teach to all these people, and hundreds of people have followed him. And again, just reading through scripture, you observe this, you see this. And he sits down and he begins to teach. But this is a turning point in Jesus' ministry. He begins to teach in a completely different way. He begins to teach primarily using parables or stories. One person who wrote about it said, "Parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning." I love that. It means it's an earthly story that everybody could understand. You know, we're talking about seeds, we're talking about birds. We totally can get that picture. But it has this heavenly or eternal meaning. That's what a parable is. That's what Dave talked about last week. But also about this, and I love it, is that what Jesus is doing, if you observe this, is that the story he's telling in here about this is about himself and about the people he's actually talking to. He's talking about his audience. He's talking about the people who are sitting there listening to him, and most of them don't even realize that he's talking about them. That's what it means to observe and to understand that Jesus is doing this, and he's doing this in such a way to give us and to give his disciples a picture of what he's doing, but also a picture of what we need to be doing. So then he goes on to explain it, and he says the soil is the hearts of people. And he talks about, you know, the first one, the path, it's so hard, the seed's just going to sit there and the bird's going to come get it. He's talking literally about the Pharisees and all the people who've rejected him, all the people who just think this is a load of rubbish. He's talking about them, the people who are sitting right in front of him. And they don't even know he's talking about them. But he does it in such a way that they can't say, "Oh, you're talking about us." It's just like, "I'm just telling a story." And then he tells his disciples, "I'm talking about the people whose hearts are hard, who have no interest in this. They can't possibly understand it." And by the way, what I love is, if you move into interpretation, those same groups of people, those same soils, that's exactly the same 2,000 years later today. It's the same. It hasn't changed. He talks about the path and their hearts are hard and they can't understand it. They don't want to understand it. It's a load of rubbish to them. Then he talks about the people that are with the rocks and the soil is so thin that the seed can just start get going. But then things get hard. They start getting persecuted. They start getting challenged in their faith and they just walk away from it because it's just too hard. Don't we know people like that who've heard this and they thought, "No, thank you. I'm out of here." And then he talks about the folks where there's thorns. And he says, basically interprets it for us to say, these are the folks who begin to really embrace God's word, God's truth, the gospel. But the worries and the cares of the world, I just want to be comfortable and this is too hard and I'm more worried about making money and being successful than I am about embracing God's truth of the gospel. Don't we see that every day? The millions of people who are pulling into London every day, it's just what they care about in life is building their own kingdoms and having plenty of money and being successful, and the worries and the cares of the world and the gospel, they can't embrace it, and it goes away. Now, as I observe this, here's something that encouraged me, by the way, because it was true for Jesus, is Jesus is sharing God's word. He's sharing about God's kingdom to all these people. And he tells us about four different types of soils. In other words, four different types of people and their hearts. And he's saying, even for Jesus, the greatest storyteller there is, even for the Savior of the world, as he's sharing this truth, that most of the people listening to him, most of them won't even embrace what he has to say. See, we need to understand that for Jesus, only a few, the path is narrow, only a few actually were the good soil and actually embraced what Jesus had to say and began to bear fruit, began to grow in their faith as they followed Jesus. Most people didn't. Most walked away. Most Either it was too hard to understand, or they didn't want to understand and they walked away from him, or they began to understand, but then persecution came, it got too hard and they walked away, or else the cares of the world or their family pulled them away and said, don't listen to that, that's a bunch of rubbish, come with me. And most people didn't understand what Jesus had to say. Most people didn't bear any fruit. That encourages me. And here's why, because when we begin to interpret this, when we begin to move into the interpretation part, what we need to understand is that Jesus was the one, he was talking about himself, sowing the seeds of the world. But when we get to us and what do we do with it today, we need to understand that we, if you love Jesus, if you are the good soil and your faith has grown, you began in that story as the good soil where you have grown up. But now you and I are called to be the sower. See, we no longer are just the people in the good soil. Now the story talks about us, and we are the ones that are supposed to be out sowing. So the picture for us, the interpretation for us, the application for us actually, is this. We're now the sower. And our patch, our allotment, if you will, I love allotments, I think they're cool. Guess what our allotment is? It's Hartford. It's Horns Mill. It's Seal Farm. It's our schools, where you go to school. It's our friends. It's our families. That's our allotment. Some of you are dying right now. You're just thinking, Michael's making more mess. That's all you can think about. I'm so sorry if that's all you're thinking about right now. What I want you to be thinking about is this. God's word is the seed. God's truth. Jesus was talking from God's word. He was talking about God's kingdom. He was giving out God's message, the gospel. This is the gospel. And when we spend time in the word, when this becomes part of us, this is the seed creator. This is where the seeds come from. They don't come from us. They come from God. And he gives us these seeds to sow. In other words, to take out everywhere we go in our patch, in our allotment. And our allotment as a church is Hartford and the surrounding towns and villages, wherever it is we live. And what we've been called to do, our application to this, is to sow. To share God's truth, God's gospel, God's love with every person we can. And what we need to understand when we do that is this. Sometimes we're going to share it. I got a next door neighbor. I can't tell you how many times I've invited him to church. And it's like I'm just throwing more seeds on the path. Not interested. Not interested. Not interested. Sometimes we share it and somebody says, okay, I'll come along, and they come to church with us, or they come to an Alpha course with us for a little while, and they say, yeah, that's maybe a who knows, and then it just gets too hard, and they say, forget it, I'm done, right? Sometimes we get somebody to come, and they even come for a while. I've taken young people to Young Life Camp in the summer, and they go, yes, and they stand up at the end and say, I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life, and 6 months later, the thorns and the cares of the world, their family, whoever it is, has pulled them away, and we don't ever see them again. And we thought, man, they've started to grow, they've embraced it. They had this tearful time where they stood up and they said, I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life. And then they don't. And what we need to understand is that has been happening since Jesus started doing this. That's what's going to happen. But what we've got to embrace and we've got to remember along the way is sometimes we're going to send these seeds out to somebody and they're going to go, I get it. And I love it. And I'm in. And I'm sticking around. And I'm going to do this the rest of my life. And then this is what's so cool, they start bearing fruit. They meet Jesus, and they start telling their friends about Jesus, and they're like, come with me, you got to hear about this. This is amazing. And they begin to grow, and they begin to grow, and they begin to grow. And then they have fruit because other people believe them. We are to sow the seeds. Here's what you got to observe. Here's what hit me. The observation that I made that struck me so much was this. A sower went out to sow. Say that with me. A sower went out to sow. Ready?
Sower.
Went out to sow. If the sower doesn't go out to sow, is there a story? No story If the sower doesn't go out to sow. Is there any fruit?
No.
No. Is anybody's life changed if a sower doesn't go out to sow? The answer is no. You got it. The point of the story, yes, it's about the soils, but without the sower, there's no story. Do you understand what that means for us? If we don't sow, there is no story. If we don't go out and share God's word and God's truth with other people, then there are no changed lives. There's no fruit. It all stops. In other words, when we start going, God, what are you going to do? God, what are you going to do? He's going, I empowered you. I have given you the gospel. You're the one that I've handed the seeds to. And it's your job to go out and sow them. It's God's job to bring the rain and the sun and to grow it. And he's the one who produces it. But he's asked us, he's called us to sow. Now the final point I want to make is a simple one. We want to be, our patch wants to be Hartford, right? And wherever you live, maybe you don't live in Hartford. Maybe you live in Buntingford or where. Or, you know, St. Albans, wherever it is you live, that's your patch. But what I would also say is this, and this is incredibly important, is our patch as well is right here. And the fruit we want to see is in our young people right here. Isn't it? See, I want us to also have the picture that we need to do everything we can as a church to get rid of the rocks and to take away the thorns so that we have the most fertile soil possible here for our children and young people. I can't tell you how many times I have heard this story, and you have too, where someone says to me, my son, my daughter got to about 13, 14, 15 years old, and they got tired of church, and I couldn't get them to come anymore. Because there was nothing for them. Because nobody was spending time with them. Because nobody was sowing a seed into their heart. Have you heard that story before? I heard it today. I'm planning a retreat with a whole bunch of other Young Life areas for the 5th and the 6th of December. For all of Southeast England, we're going to do a big wildlife weekend in London. For 150, 200 kids from all over the place to share the gospel with them. I get to be the speaker and I get to share the gospel with all these kids. And I'm planning it and I'm talking to a good friend of mine who has a 12-year-old boy. And as I'm talking to him, and he's not even part of Young Life, he's just helping lead a youth group at his church. He says, we're coming to this event, Michael. And I said, why are you coming? And he said this. He said, because my 12-year-old son has been listening to his grandfather tell him that it's a whole bunch of rubbish. This Christianity, this Christian faith. And he's believed it. And so, Michael, I want my son there because I want him to hear the gospel. I want him to get to know Jesus the way I do and spend the rest of his life growing in his faith. So I'm going to get my kid there. Men and women, if we do nothing else over the next few years but toil the soil here so that our children and our young people can grow and produce great fruit and they can get to know Jesus and spend the rest of their life loving Jesus, if we don't do anything else, that's what we need to do. I don't know of anything more important than making sure our young people have great soil. Great place to grow in their faith. A great place to be loved. It doesn't mean that every one of them will. We can't guarantee that. We can't guarantee that. I know that. But as a dad with three kids, every single day, you know what my focus is? A sower goes out to sow. Every day when I wake up, I want to make sure I do everything in my power that my kids can know and love and follow Jesus the rest of their life. I don't care whatever else happens. You understand? And our calling is to be sowers of the word. That's our calling. The question is, are we going to do it? So the application is this. When you get up tomorrow, are you going to take some seed with you? Wherever you go? Are you taking God's word with you? Are you taking the gospel with you? Wherever you go? And are you going to sow? That's the application. And by the way, that's exactly what we've all been called to do. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this story, this parable that you gave to us to remind us that we are to sow. A sower went out to sow. And God, my prayer is that we would do that, that we would each day, every day, think of ourselves as sowers, whatever else it is we're doing, and that we would go out to sow, to grow, to love, to serve, and to give away this great news that Jesus saves. Pray this in your name. Amen.